Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
I don't know if you follow Jamal Crawford on Twitter. I do. Because he's like a life coach. A life coach, if you follow him, he's always telling you about the opportunities that exist in life. He's a very positive person. Always found him that way when he was with the Trailblazers on a short stint. He scored 51 last night for the Phoenix Suns. Don't know if you heard about it, but he's joining us now. Nice job. What does that feel like to score 51 in an NBA game?
It felt great. Obviously, I've scored a few different times, and they were all different, which is really, really cool. And earning the circumstance and being there for Dirk's last home game and the energy that was in the building, all the legends that were in the building, it was something I'll never forget.
Do you have, when you have those big games, do you get a feeling before the big game, like this could be, because you tweeted out in the morning, you know, a very positive tweet about how every day brings a new opportunity, but you do that almost every day.
Yeah, I was feeling good. Just how the games have been going lately, kind of had something good building. Our team was playing a little bit better to close the season out, considering all the injuries. And it's funny, my wife told me earlier this season, she was like, you have another 50-point game. And I'm thinking to myself, is she serious? I'm barely even playing right now. Like, she's like, you have a 50-point game. And so when that happened last night, she was really excited, my son. But the first thing she said is, well, now you got to do it again because we weren't there. I'm like, oh, my gosh. But, yeah, so it's pretty cool.
Did you know that at your age, and you're still a young man, what are you, 39?
Yeah, I'm 39. I'm forever 21. I stopped counting after that.
Did you know that that was a record, that you would become the oldest NBA player to ever to go for 50?
No, I didn't know at the time. I figured Michael Jordan would be the guy to have that record, because people forget the Wizards, he still averaged 20-plus points for two straight seasons, so I thought if anybody had the record, it would be him. I was aware of the record of having 25 straight 25-point games. And that was Kobe Bryant, I believe, at this age. But I didn't know about the 50-point record.
Dwayne Wade scores 30. Dirk scores 30. Jamal Crawford goes for 51. You see both of those guys going out. How long do you want to play? Do you think about that?
Yeah, I don't want to put a cap on it. I just want to enjoy it. You know, obviously, when you lose guys like that, you lose a little bit of the NBA fabric. Ever since I've been in the NBA, those guys have, you know, and you're competing against them. And Dirk, even before I got in the NBA, watching him. So you lose a little piece of your childhood when you see guys like him and Iverson and Kobe and Manu and all those guys start to leave the game. So, yeah, I don't want to put a cap on it. I just want to enjoy playing while I'm playing.
We're talking to Jamal Crawford, NBA player. Former Sixth Man of the Year, a guy that Blazers fans might remember. They tried to make you a point guard here. Remember that?
Yep, I was almost a point guard. I was a backup point guard this year, too. So it's funny how it goes full circle.
Yeah, and I just think I have such fond memories of you. And I was talking to Mike Barrett, the former Blazer broadcaster, about you. He just has the same thing. He just says, good guy, good guy. What, you know, there are a lot of players, a lot of professional athletes that don't relate well to media and to public. Why does Jamal Crawford, why is that so important to you to be known as a good person?
Well, I think that's more important than anything. My high school coach used to always tell me your talent will take you places your character can't keep you. And even before that, I was just raised that way, from my grandparents to my parents to my sisters to older people around the neighborhood. You just treat people with respect. And it doesn't matter if you're you know, someone on the street that I see or if you're a billionaire that I see. I'm going to treat you the exact same. So for me, I think that goes a lot further than just, you know, saying, okay, I made it. Now I can treat people any way I want to.
About 48 hours ago, you tweeted, music gets you through. How important is music to you?
Very important. I love music. It's kind of like the soundtrack to my life and the backdrop. I'm always traveling, always in hotels or on the go, and the music is one constant. I always got my headphones on, listening to different things, and music can strike so many different emotions. You know, it has a song for everything, whether it be, you know, you're sad or you're happy or you want to go back to a nostalgic point when you were in high school or when you were a kid and get that feeling again. So music, you may see that tweet a lot.
What'd you think about the Final Four and the way that overtime game, Virginia, Texas Tech? I had Texas Tech winning the game, so I was disappointed with how it went. But defense being celebrated, what'd you think of all that?
Yeah, it was something. It was a great game, especially the way it ended. I'm not sure you could ask for, you know, a game of that magnitude to be any better. You always want to have the two best duke it out and have the runs and the ebbs and flows of games and keep people on the edge of their seats, you know, both fan bases cheering for each other. So that's always good when games can go that way. And I think it was a really good game. It was played well.
All right, Blazers in the playoffs. I asked people last night, would they rather play, like the matchup better against the Thunder or like the matchup better against the Jazz? You're a guy who's in the league. You know the players. You know the teams. Which one of those series is more entertaining for you to see? Would you rather see Portland play Oklahoma City or Portland play Utah?
I think Portland playing Oklahoma City would be a great one because I think Oklahoma City is built for the playoffs. They have a lot of talent. They have some closers. They had depth. They have defenders. I think they can play styles that are built for the playoffs. I think Portland now having the experience of being in the playoffs year after year, know what to expect. I think the way they went out last year against New Orleans it will kind of fuel them, you know, moving forward. So I think it'd be a good series.
Jamal Crawford with us. Phoenix Suns scored 51 last night. What's your body feel like at the end of a season? And you know, as you look back at the year, you know, how long does it take you to get physically right?
It for me, honestly, it feels good. It really does. But the whole trick and the key is to stay in shape. I think it's tough when you get out of shape to get back in shape. That's when injuries start happening. That's when your body doesn't feel as good. That's when you have to work, you know, extremely hard just to get back to where you're at. And for me, I think if you just stay in shape and you don't have to go always NBA speed, if you stay in, you know, a significant amount of shape, you can keep your body going. It's not the drastic, let me get back in shape mode. You just keep firing away and you feel better because of it.
Young players probably reach out to you all the time, and I know kids probably reach out to you all the time. What advice do you give? Because they watch you ball handling, behind the back dribbling, you know, getting your shot. What advice do you give to kids who are working on their game? What did you do at 12, 13, 14 that you look back and go, that really served me?
Well, for me, I just stayed in love with the game. I remember when I used to travel, I'd have my basketball in my carry-on. I used to sleep in my basketball. I walked through the mall in my basketball. And everywhere I went, that was the most important thing to me. And that's why I tell the young guys, especially the younger guys starting out their career, keep that the most important thing. Everything that you get, every opportunity you get is based off of that. So stay in love with the game. Keep improving. Keep finding ways to get better. Even for me now, I've been in the league 19 years. I'm still learning about the game. That's what's so fun. That's what keeps me going. You know, that you never truly master it. You just get better, and then you fall, and you get back up and try to get better again. So stay in love with the game would be my key message for them.
I had no idea you were going to score 51. Once a season, I like having you on because I think people remember you in Portland and remember you fondly, and I love getting, you know, the experience of a guy who spent two decades in the league. And then you go for 51. Your phone must have been ridiculous after that game.
Yeah, it was blowing up. It was blowing up. And usually I check Twitter after the game. I didn't even get a chance to check Twitter until we landed back in Phoenix because I had so many messages from people and friends, and it was just unbelievable. It really was. And it was the magnitude of the game, right? I played in playoff games, but the energy in the building with Dirk's last home game and all the legends that were there and just, you know, it was just a surreal moment.
As a guy who's been in the league, do you kind of, you know, do you seize on that? Because there have been games you probably look around the arena and there's no energy in the building. You're like, hey, I gotta bring that energy myself. But when it's already there, is that something where you're like, you've been in the league so long, you recognize that? And does that play a factor in you going for 51?
Well, I've always liked to think of myself, even when I was a kid, my childhood, that I played better under the more pressure moments or the, you know, the stage was really set. So for me, you know, I'm not sure. I'm sure that factored into it. That wasn't the only reason it happened, but I'm sure it factored into it. And you can't do something like that without your teammates and coaches. Like, yeah, everybody would talk about the 51 or whatever, but literally my teammates are giving me the ball. Coach is drawing up great plays for me. I just have to take advantage. When I said that before this, it's almost the perfect storm when something like that happens. You score that many points. Everything has to kind of be connected and tied together.
You know, I saw a picture of Dirk. He looks so much different now than when he came into the league. And then I look at you look the same, man. You just stayed young.
Yeah, for me, like I said, I take care of my body. I don't put bad things in it. My wife tricked me years ago and had me start drinking a lot of water. She put the packets in it, and I thought it was Kool-Aid at first because I didn't like drinking water. And she got me on Whole Foods, so that's been my diet. You know, and before you know it, it's a lifestyle, and you just keep going. And now I'm eating nectar and eating acai bowls and things, and she definitely tricked me, but it's paid off.
Yeah, I gotta get your diet. Yeah, you know, write that out so I can follow it a little bit, because I know what you mean. Like, I'm older than you, but I think, you know, I used to go into the gym. I could stop and eat a chimichanga on the way. I'd be fine. Now I got to really be careful with what I eat, and I got to work harder when I'm in the gym.
You absolutely do. You do. But if you stay at it, it's a lot easier. And you start looking like, you know what, I have more energy. My body feels better. And like I said, it becomes a lifestyle, because then you're just like, this is what I want to do. I want to make my life this work.
All right, Jamal Crawford, congratulations on 51. That's a big night. You're not done. We both know it. And keep up the fight. I appreciate you making time for us. I know how busy you are.
Oh, no. Thank you for having me, as always. Appreciate you.
All right, Jamal Crawford, there he is, fresh off 51. I reached out to him yesterday morning, and I was like, hey, you want to come on? Yeah. And he had tweeted out, another day, another opportunity. Then I looked up last night, and I'm like, he's having a pretty good game. Then I looked at the box score. He's got 51. At the end of the game. Then I was like, he's 39 years old. What is he doing scoring 51 points in a game? And lo and behold, that is an NBA record. Oldest man in the history of the NBA to score 50-plus. You just heard him. We get the big guests here on the show. We are broadcasting today live at the Portland Diamond Project's clubhouse. Stop by here. In the final hour of the show, which is coming up at 2 o'clock, we are going to give away a Russell Wilson autographed baseball. We're going to give away the treasure chest that the Portland Diamond Project gave to their charter investors. I'm pretty sure that gets you a piece of the team, makes you an owner of the team if you have one of those things. So stop by here if you're anywhere downtown Portland. We are located just in the shadow of Providence Park, broadcasting here today. Still some big guests ahead. Darwin Barney's going to join us. A lot of giveaways here, and the people from Portland Gear, Marcus Harvey and the great team from Portland Gear, what a good story that is, are also selling their swag here. So stop by and check that out. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. It's a great sports week. You got Augusta National ramping up. You got NBA playoffs on the horizon. You got Jamal Crawford scoring 51. Great hearing from him in the last segment. But we are celebrating baseball today. I'm at the clubhouse, Portland Diamond Project Clubhouse, where we are celebrating the effort to bring Major League Baseball to Portland. New renderings of the stadium. A lot of activity in the building. We've had a lot of people swing through here. I always love a great turnout for a remote broadcast. Like Jamal Crawford was saying, the energy in the building. You bring the energy in the building, so I appreciate everybody who has stopped by here. We will still be here. I'll be here till 3 o'clock celebrating baseball. We're going to give away a Russell Wilson autographed baseball coming up. We also have Darwin Barney in the house who will be joining us in the 2 o'clock hour to talk about his time at Oregon State, his time in Major League Baseball, and what is his involvement with the Diamond Project. So we'll hear from Darwin coming up as well in the show. Peter Sampson, you're back in studio. Is it fun there? Because it's fun out here.
I got to be honest, I'm jealous. Bella and I are holding it down, but I really wish I was there right now.
Bella did a hell of a job getting Jamal Crawford, because people don't know the degree of difficulty. When a guy like that scores 51, he had exit interviews today. Everybody who is in media knows how difficult that is. He had his phone blowing up. He had agreed to be on the show, but then this morning we were supposed to tape that interview at 11:30. He was late in his exit interview. Then he switched phone numbers on us. Bella, I got to give you a shout out. You almost got a restraining order getting him on the phone, but you got him.
I did. I called him many times.
How many times do you think you dialed Jamal Crawford today?
At least 15.
I love that. By the end of it, I'm sure he was sufficiently annoyed with us, but I love getting him on. I just love that he went for 51. The eve before he was scheduled to come on the show. So whoever we book for tomorrow, you're going to have a really good night tonight. That's the BFT karma that Kelly Graves talks about. I want to talk for a minute about the Oregon Ducks basketball players who have all declared for the NBA draft. Peyton Pritchard told me yesterday he has declared he will hire an agent. There's your point guard at Oregon. Bol Bol is already on record. He has declared he has hired the agency, Creative Artists Agency, out of L.A., so he might be in movies one day. Also declaring for the NBA draft, you've got Kenny Wooten, underclassman at Oregon. And you got Louis King, who I don't think anybody's surprised, believes that he's an NBA player. He is also declaring for the draft. Here are the rules when it comes to declaring for the NBA draft. Here is how it goes down. There are certain deadlines that are now available to players that haven't always been available. But keep in mind, the draft is June 20th. The deadline to declare is April 21st. The deadline to withdraw is June 10th. Keep June 10th top of mind, because the NBA draft combine comes on May 14th through the 19th. The players who are invited will get feedback from the NBA teams. They can hire an agent, like Pritchard said he's going to do. This is a new NCAA rule. But they have to terminate that agent relationship prior to May 29th to still be eligible in college. I believe Peyton Pritchard will be back at Oregon next season, but keep an eye on those two deadlines. June 10th, his deadline to withdraw from the draft, and more importantly, May 29th, that's the deadline for him to terminate his agent relationship. Now, here's the deal. I think Pritchard knows he needs another year in college. He told me he's just going through the process. So if you're a Duck fan who panicked last night when you saw four players declaring for the NBA draft, you know, breathe easier knowing that not all four are going. Pritchard, I think, will play in the NBA one day. Now, I've had NBA scouts tell me, no way, he's not ready, he's not an NBA guy. I know Peyton Pritchard. I know how hard that kid works. I know that it'll be about fit for him, but he reminds me a lot of the path that Steve Blake took to the NBA in that it wasn't clean and easy. He had to work hard. It was about finding the right fit. And if Dan Dickow and Steve Blake can rattle around a little bit in the NBA, I think Peyton Pritchard's got an NBA career at some capacity. But again, it will be about the right fit. Bol Bol is interesting. He's a top 20 pick. I talked to an NBA general manager who told me, quote, everyone wants to know how much he loves hoops, but his talent and size are intriguing. He's got the reputation of a guy who doesn't really love basketball, but he oozes natural ability and he can't teach that kind of size and length, end quote. I think the foot injury is not going to be a problem for Bol. He's going to be a first-round pick. I think potential alone puts him somewhere in the 12 to 19 range of the draft. But that said, just my opinion, I don't think he's going to make a great pro. I'd love to be wrong about that, but I do not see a guy in Bol Bol who loves basketball. Now, Kenny Wooten and Lou King are interesting. Both are going to declare and test the NBA waters. Both, I think, will go to the combine. But here's the deal with Louis King. Really intriguing. Might be the best pro in the bunch. And that includes Bol Bol. Like, someday, I think Lou King could be the best of the bunch. The thing for him is he needs to get stronger. He needs another year of experience. He needs to work on his handle. He's a liability sometimes dribbling the basketball. I think you're going to find that there are more skilled, stronger, more physical players in the NBA that have about the same athleticism. So I would like to see him come back for another year. But, you know, here's a guy who played at three different high schools in really three seasons of high school basketball. He's now played 1 year of college. He's not a standstill guy. He's a guy that, you know, sort of sees himself as a next level player. Now, he was asked after the loss to Virginia, hey, are you enrolled in spring classes? He didn't say yes or no. He declined to answer the question. I thought that was really weird. Like, being enrolled in spring classes or not kind of told me that Lou King was hoping that he hears from an NBA team, one NBA team, hey, you're a guy that we would pick. I think he's making a mistake if he stays in the draft, but I would not be surprised to see an NBA team look at him and go, you know what? We'll stash him somewhere on the bench. We like his athleticism. He's super interesting. His offensive game could come further along, but, you know, I'd like to see Lou King back, but I think he's a maybe to come back. Kenny Wooten, not there yet, all right? And here's the guy that I am sure of. His offensive game is not there. He's got good length. He can block shots, but and he can defend a little bit. But his offensive game is just not there. I asked an NBA scout last night via text. I said, what do you think of Kenny Wooten as an NBA player? And what I got back was this. Quote, if you can't command a double team, you're just another guy. End quote. He cannot command a double team. He's not a good enough offensive player. I don't blame any of these guys, nor do I blame Trace Tinkle at Oregon State for exploring their options, right? You should do that. If this were my brother, if this were my kid, I would be like, absolutely, go through the process. Get feedback. There's no harm here in these guys exploring it. But I think what is ultimately going to happen at Oregon is Bol Bol's going to go. I think Lewis King is a maybe to the NBA. I think Pritchard and Wooten are back. And Trace Tinkle at Oregon State, same thing. I think he is a guy who explores it, but ultimately ends up back at Oregon State playing for his dad next season. Dre in Portland has called in on the subject, wants to talk about the draft. Dre, what's up?
Jay, I agree with you totally, man. Pritchard, he needs to come back. I'm not even sure. I love his game. I'm just not sure. He reminds me a lot of, like, a Bobby Hurley.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
You're great. I'm just not sure what it looks like on an NBA team. If there's guys like, and I'm going to put this out there, a dude like Wade Baldwin on the Blazers.
Yeah.
No one's talking about Wade Baldwin anymore. Wade Baldwin was a player, dude. You feel me? Wade Baldwin has game. It's the right place, right situation. If you said take Pritchard or Wade Baldwin, I'm thinking of Wade Baldwin because he's been there. I can see what you can do. Lewis King, stay in college, man.
Yep. Money to be made. Money to be made if he stays.
Man, Wooden or whatever his name is, you got to stay because against Virginia, I was expecting you to do a little bit more. All those alley-oops looked great that one game, but then when you played Virginia, where was that at?
Yeah, gone. Dre, I got to run, but I appreciate the call. Great insight. Leave it here, the 2 o'clock hour.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.